are possible now that you're here.
If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And we'll read from verse 1 through 20, but I don't think we'll read that much up before I let you sit down. Otherwise, as slow as I read, sometimes you might be standing on your feet all night. So, beginning at verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That means let us go on to the finishing off. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. And there has only been one once for all enlightening, and that is under the seventh angel's message, the last message, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and we know the heavenly gift is Christ, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come into thy presence this evening, knowing that we've come this far in this race, and we ask that you who began the work in us would finish it. We know that in each of the three exoduses, Father, you came down in the form of the pillar of fire, and you brought a people out, 2 million people in Moses' day. We don't know how many in Jesus' day, but we know about 2 million again in this hour because there's about 2 million people in the message. And yet, we know that somewhere along the journey, the people got edgy, they got restless, and they began to go back toward organization. And as Jesus, your Son, said, every one of them perished. And as Brother Branham said, that means to be eternally separated from God. These, Father, were people who followed the pillar of fire, followed the prophet on the scene. But somewhere during the journey, they wore out. They just couldn't take it any longer. And we know that Alpha must repeat in Omega. And so, Father, we see the scene unfolding. We see the great attrition taking place. And we know, Father, there is to be a great falling away. And Lord, we just pray that you who began the work in us will perform it and keep us unto the end. For we ask it humbly in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I like to say it's good to be home again. And, you know, there's an old expression that says there's no place like home. And I want you to know that I'm glad to be here, even though our meetings in Poland went very, very well. There were believers from 7 countries who came to hear the word, and the fellowship was just great. The first night I spoke on the spirit of adoption, and the reception was very warm and wonderful. Then Brother Erling Erickson spoke the next day on Saturday morning, working into his sermon, his testimony. We enjoyed it very much, but you know he never did finish his sermon. So I'm looking forward to hearing it one day, next time we get together, I guess, hear the rest of that sermon. Then after that, in the afternoon, Brother Marcus Jonker from Belgium, you've all met him, you've all met both of them. He presented a warning to the people to not let their understanding of election and predestination sidetrack them. Because as he put it, Brother Bram said, I'm a Calvinist as long as it stays with the Word. And sometimes in talking, talking to him later on, we both agreed that some who see the presence and who even see and believe the Godhead are so content in their fellowship that they have basically excommunicated themselves from fellowship outside of their circles. And so when Brother Marcus presented the thoughts on the foreknowledge of God, and he said, you know, he brought out the fact that, you know, there is a choice that we make. And that choice is God knew that choice before the foundations of the world, what we would make. And And it's very apparent that many, because they are too Calvinistic, they believe that, well, you know, it's basically over. And if it's over, let's just dust our hands. There's nothing we need to do, nothing we need to be participating in. You know, it's over. Basically, it's over. So your name was on the book, so great. So just might as well eat, drink, and be merry. And that's what they're doing. And that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong, and that'll put them out of the kingdom. They don't realize that. Look, Brother Branham said, if you're that way, you never were born again to begin with. And that's the danger. It's a big danger. Brother Branham said the same thing. He said that's where Pentecost went wrong. They thought, as long as I'm in the family, I made it. That's it. He said, but what they don't realize is you've got to be the right kind of son if you're going to be adopted. And so we've got a real skewed ideas of Calvinism. Right amongst us, those who believe the presence, those who believe Godhead. And it's a danger. And so we must be very, very careful. So Sunday we had a long service, which I took three of the sermons from here that I preached on the trail of adoption and put them together into a 3.5 to 4 hour sermon, which was also very well received. And so this evening I would like to continue in the spoken word as original seed, and I'd like to pick up at paragraph number 90. And Brother Branham said, from the spoken word is original seed, paragraph 90, he said, what is it? Same seed. How can you plant wheat here and wheat here and then say, I'm going to get cucumbers here and wheat here? You can't do it. The only way you're going to get cucumbers is to plant cucumbers. If you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed, and it's a bad product, and it's dead in itself. And it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there. Back. Won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. If you want a church, start with the church, with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. So my question to you tonight is, what's in your garden? What's in your garden? You know, we've preached here the garden of your mind. We've taken you through the series where you understand that every thought that's in your mind came there from somebody. You say, well, no, I read it in a book. Somebody wrote the book. Well, I learned it in school. Somebody taught you. You see, every thought you have comes from somebody. So who did it come from? God or the devil? Because there's only two sources. There's only one word, and that's God's word, and the devil perverts it. He takes it, he puts a twist on it. So my question is, what's in your garden? Because what's in your garden, when the doctrine hits, that's what's going to make that. You're going to manifest what's already there. Either your serpent seed or your God seed. Jesus said, you can't hear my word because there's no place for my word in your heart. You're of your father, the devil. Well, those are pretty strong words. Pretty strong words from the loving Jesus. That is a fact. They had their source in the devil. They couldn't take the word when it came. There was no room for the word in their heart. And so when the light struck, it manifested what seed they were. I believe, and as I told the people there, that you could sit around the message for 20 years. 20 years you could sit around this message. And we've seen it. People don't grow. They just sit around. They haven't changed a lick in 20 years. Then when the presence came, those that fought it showed where their father is. When the Godhead broke, those that fought it showed who their father is. You see? Because when the light strikes a seed, it has to manifest. And Brother Branham said, look, he said, well, I'll just put it this way. He said it doesn't take 20 years after the light struck for life to come. He said it's immediately. So there we are. And Brother Branham said, if you want a church, start with the Word of God. If you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that falls will produce exactly what's in your garden. So what is the rain? He said, my doctrine shall fall as the rain. When the doctrine hits, it'll produce, it'll show what's in there. See, then now, where's your latter rain coming up? You see where that's going, going after a while, don't you? Going over with them wild gourds, and that Elijah got up and thought that they were gourds of them school of prophets up there, that denomination they had, gathered some wild gourds and thought that they were peas. Must have been used to hybrid peas. I'd like to stop here for just a minute and look at some things that Brother Brown was saying. Number one, he says, if you try to take the word, which is the life, and breed it to anything else, it dies right there and you can't mix it. In fact, in a sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, now, you go back and try to live again. What if that life took back down and you think that that life would ever go back after that old shuck's dried up? Ever go back and live in that old shuck again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and did move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead. They're gone. And the thorns and thistles which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned, is that right? What's Brother Brown quoting there? Hebrews 6. Now what he's saying here is that the Word of God keeps moving on. And when you stop and think that you have it all, you die right there. That is what went wrong with every movement of God in every age and in every exodus. The people got tired of walking in the light and wanted to settle down. And in order to do that, they end up organizing along camp lines or lines of fellowship that they're comfortable with, and they shut off to all or to all others and to the pillar fire. That pillar fire just keeps moving on. If those people would have stopped when the pillar fire was moving, they would have been left behind. And that's what happened in the early in the first Exodus. It happens that way every time. They organize around familiarity, whether it's friendships, groups of people, or nationalities, and they begin to slow down, and finally they stop moving toward, they stop moving forward altogether. And when they do, the pillar fire just keeps moving on, and they just fail to move on with the light as it continues to move on. And notice, if the light is in this area and you're walking in this area, you're in the light. But if the light moves over to this area, what's here? Darkness. So if you stop moving and the light keeps moving, you're in darkness. You go into darkness, not all of a sudden. Because if when you're in the center of the light, it's the brightest. And when you get to the outskirts of the light, it's a little bit less. And when the light keeps moving on and you don't, you can still see the light. Maybe you can still see a little bit of yourself. You can still see, you know, things around you. But pretty soon, as that light's moving on, it gets darker and darker and darker and darker, and the life cuts off. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. God has placed a fivefold ministry for a purpose. Not to be dictators in churches. Not to be running roughshod over people. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. Some what? Some gifts. He gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's only one faith, one Lord. That's verse 6. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, one who's ready for adoption, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. Not separated, not little groups here, little groups there, not schisms, not personality differences, but tied together by one word, by one Lord, by one faith, one revelation of that one Lord. You see? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Why? Because they're not walking in the light. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Well, let's start. Number one, blindness of heart brings on ignorance, brings on a darkening of their understanding, eliminates life. You take the light away from seed, and what does it do? There's no life. It can't produce. So we see then that if you don't walk in the light, he didn't say talk in the light. He didn't say if you talk in the light, have your Friday night meetings, you talk in the light, as he is in the light, well, just keep talking and you're going to make it. He didn't say that. Brother Branham said, when Brother Branham said to apply the token, he said, not talk it, apply it. Too much talk going on. Now, I'm not against people getting together talking the word. It helps. But I'd rather see you live the word and walk in the word than talk the word. You understand what I mean? Too many people think because we can sit around and talk the word, we've got it, we've arrived, and you haven't. And you've fallen short because you're not walking in it. It's a life, it's not a theology. Too many people look at the Godhead, look at the presence as a theology which marks them different from the other people in the message. And they haven't got a clue because it's not a theology, it's a relationship. The reason why God has given us this understanding of the Godhead is so that we can understand the relationship between the Father and the Son. So we can understand our relationship with the Father. That's what it's about. It's not theology. And if it's theology to you, you need to be born again. Yes, you do. Because God didn't come to give us theology. He came as a relationship. He came as a Father, not sparing His children. Not allowing His children to be lost, but not willing to spare His children. That's Malachi. When He who, the Bible says when they talked the word, He heard and wrote a book of remembrance. And He said, those are My kids. And He said, I'm going to give them discernment though. You see? So that's a good part of talking the word is you build up. But I'm telling you, too many people just sitting on their tail end. They think it's enough just to talk the word. And they live like devils. They watch programs that devils would watch. They're not living a good, holy Christian life. And the Bible says, be holy as He is holy. So, from the anointed ones at the end time. Notice, Brother Brad said, now you go back and try to live it again. What if that life back there, you think that life would ever go back? After that old shucks dried up, ever go back and try to live in that again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once enlightened and did move on with the word as it come to pass. They're dead and gone. Now there's a word for this hour. And a word for the hour that we're living in 2009. I'm not talking about 1965 or 1946 through 65. Or 1933 through 65. I'm talking about 2009. What is the word? There's an adoption taking place. There's a spirit of adoption. There's a trail of adoption. That's for you and me. We sat passively, and some of you weren't even born when Brother Brown was on the scene. You weren't, were you? Most of the people in this church weren't born. How many of you were born before 1965? My wife and I. Is that it? Wow. And some people try to say that mercy was over in 1963. Can you imagine that? Mercy was over in 1963? What would that do for you? Be a futile birth. Huh? Why did mom and dad birth me anyway? Mercy's over. You see where those doctrines come from? They're just they're lies from the pits of hell. Trying to put people in bondage. So when the Word of God keeps moving on, the pillar of fire keeps moving on, we have to move with it. And when you stop and think that you have it all, you're dead right there. You died. And that's what went wrong in every movement of God in every age and in every Exodus. The people got tired of walking in the light and they wanted to settle down. And in order to do that, they ended up organizing along camp lines. Well, we're the Prusa group. We're the Thunders group. We're the Two Souls group. And in every age, they quit walking. They quit moving forward. And they died right there. But you know, when they organize around familiarity. Hey, we're buddies, aren't we? The good old boys club. Here's some newcomers. We don't want them in. We're comfortable. Hey, if we don't give this light to anybody else, there's room for us at the table. Oh, Brother Brian, I see you're going to Africa and you've been there many, many times. Do you think there'll even be one person make it from over there? I say, I beg your pardon. There's more over there than there is over here. I'm going to tell you something. You all think there's going to be more people in America than in Africa? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not from what I see in the behavior and the language and the attitudes. I don't see it. Brother Brown said, America's gone. You be thankful if you do make it. Brother Bram said himself, but by the grace of God, I'll make it. Only by the grace of God, I'll make it. Why do you think Brother Bram said it's over in America in 1956? He said that before you were born. That just leaves me, 53. And I was 3 years old. 3 years old. In 1956, he said, America... I predict America, in fact, he said in 55, I predict America will deny the gospel this coming year. And she did. Then Brother Bram's heart turned to Africa. That's where he wanted to be. There is truly a bright revival going on across Africa. Those people's hearts are fully swung into the doctrine of Christ. They live it. They talk it. Show me two ministers in the United States other than Brother Bale and myself that get together on a regular basis. Show me two ministers that do that, to talk the word. It's not being done. But over in Africa, several locations in Africa, they have as many as 20 getting together once a month. They get together once a month to learn and talk the doctrine. In America, what do you got? Well, you see, but there's not so many here in America. It doesn't make any difference. There's enough that we could be getting together. Too much pride. Too much pride. They organize around familiarity, whether it be friendships, groups of people, nationalities, and they begin to slow down, and finally they stop moving forward altogether. And when they do, the pillar of fire just keeps moving on. And they fail to move on. With the light as it continues to move on, then darkness sets in where the light used to become, where the light used to be, becomes darkness. Don't ever forget the warning that Brother Brown gave us in the Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said, you think that life would ever go back after that old shucks dried up, ever go back and live in that again? It never does. For it is impossible for those which were once for all enlightened and did not move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead and gone. Let me ask you a question. Has Romans 8 become fulfilled yet? Or is it in the process? Manifestation of the sons of God. Remember, we have to look at how Jesus manifested. He was the Son of God. The Bible says, though you were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, we've had Malachi 4. Yep, we can say that's been fulfilled. We have Revelation 10, 1 through 7. Yep, that's been fulfilled, except for 7 is not quite fulfilled yet because the second coming hasn't taken place. Well, we have other scriptures we could throw out there concerning the ministry of Brother Branham. But what about Romans 8? To wit, the adoption. What about Ephesians 1? That he predestinated us under the adoption of children, under the adoption of sons. What about Galatians chapter 4? We have a word which is moving on, and God's word is moving on. Are people moving with it? Or are they satisfied that, hey, we believe he's here? Well, whoop-de-doo, the devil believes he's here too. Don't tell me he doesn't. Well, we believe there's one God and he had a son. So does the devil. He believes that too. And I can show you a denomination in Texas that believes the same thing. And in Minnesota, it's a Church of God that split off from the big Church of God. And they said, no, we don't believe in Trinity anymore. We believe there's one God. He had a son. Yeah. So that'll get you up to about a denominational level. Believing the Godhead. Make you feel important, don't it? I'm asking you a question. The word, is it finished or is it moving on? And I'm going to tell you something. It's moving on until we're out of here. As far as redemption is concerned. Because until this body is redeemed, the word is moving on. The shout has got to move into voice. There's got to be a people ready for the resurrection ministry. Not a bunch of know-it-alls that think, well, we've got it all. Because Brother Branham said, for it's impossible for those which were once for all enlightened and didn't move on with the Word of God as it come to pass. They are dead. They're gone. Period. End of story. And the thing of it is, once that takes place, that's it. They can't repent. They can't go back. Why? Because organization is more appealing to them than the Word. Organization, the very thing they came out of, they go right back to it. Like a hog to a swallow. But yet, that is exactly what happens every time there's an exodus or the pillar of fire comes on the scene. In the first exodus, they longed for the garlic and leeks of Egypt. And in longing for the good old days, their hearts turned back to Egypt. And soon their bodies followed, and right there they died. Every one of them dead. In the second exodus, we see the same thing. They followed the man Christ Jesus. And there were 3,000 who received Christ on the day of Pentecost. And there were only 10, but where were they in 10 or 20 years later? Where were those 3,000? Every one of them gone. There were 12 at Ephesus, and they outshined all the thousands in Jerusalem who thought they had it all. They were putting people in and out of the message. Hey, that was headquarters. Wouldn't cooperate with Paul for nothing. And yet he was a man God. Look, God turned away from those disciples. He turned and used Paul. He chose Paul, who wasn't even one of the 12. Who's persecuting the Christians. And he chose him because he knew he had a heart. He had the zeal. He had the innate ability to get out of the way and let God do it. And he had the heart to be willing to do whatever God told him to do. And it took a long rebuke for Peter to get off his tough. And finally, he started going to the Gentiles. Then finally, Thomas, he went out, went to India, was martyred in India for the gospel's sake. And John took over where Paul left off in Ephesus. Not that John took his ministry, but he ended up pastoring the church there. John was about 95 years old when he was on the day, or 90 years old out there on the Isle of Patmos. But every one of them gone. Because they were so focused on the man Jesus in the flesh. They fished with him, you know. Well, on this day they hunted with him and they fished. Well, they ate with him. And yet God did not use them because he used Paul, who did what God wanted done. And so we see the same trail continues on. Yes, there's a trail to adoption, and there's a trail to eternal separation. And sometimes people don't know which trail they're on. As I mentioned last week, I read a sign when I was at a restaurant in Minneapolis, a saying that Yogi Berra would say. You know, he was the famous baseball player, I think, for the Chicago Cubs or New York or someplace. I don't know. I'm not that great of a baseball fan. But Yogi Berra was quite a character. And he said, you know, in life, you always go down a road and there's a fork in the road. He said, when you get to that fork in the road, take it. Take it. So which fork are you going to take? The trail of adoption or the trail to eternal separation? Because that's exactly what's in store for us, all of us. One of those two trails. The world is already separated. But the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, they walked with the pillar of fire. They were companions alongside of the Holy Spirit. They saw the power of the world to come. They tasted of the word, the manna from heaven. And yet Jesus said, there are everyone dead. And Brother Branham said, what did he say about that? He said that means they were eternally separated from God. 2 million people who followed the pillar of fire, who went through the persecution of Egypt, who went through the trials for 40 years following the pillar of fire, all for nothing. All for nothing. It makes you want to sit up and get sober. Be somber. And think, am I in this church as a club? Is it a social unit? Or do I come to check up my soul? To make sure when that rapture and that resurrection takes place, I'm going to be part of it. Is my soul hungering and thirsting for right wiseness? If it is, it shall be filled. And if it's not, I pity you. Because the pillar of fire is moving on. He's still here. He's still leading to the millennium. He didn't stop. He's moving on. Are you moving with him? Are you walking with him? Do you know what trail you're on? Hebrews 6 tells a story, though. It tells us that those who once for all were enlightened, that's not the Baptists. That's not the Pentecostals. That's not the Catholic Church. It's not the Methodist. It's not the Presbyterian. It's those in this message. Those who were once for all enlightened. And it's not those who say, well, praise God, God sent a prophet. It comes right down to have they entered into the doctrine that Brother Branham taught. And if they did, they've been once for all enlightened. It's talking about us, a people who have moved on with the doctrine. But have you stopped? Well, praise God, we've got the presence. Oh yeah. We've got the Godhead. We got it down pat. But God's still moving on. You see, it's not a theology. It's a relationship. Are you moving more and more down the trail of adoption? Are you becoming like the firstborn son? Do you not speak unless God shows you what to say? Or you just let your mouth open and whatever comes out, comes out? Are your actions right in line with this word of God, the will of God? Because his will is his word. Is your doctrine his doctrine? Have you gotten to the place where you're willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done? Or are you fussing every time someone asks you to do something? Or God moves upon you to do something? Hebrews 6 tells the whole story. It tells us that those that were once for all enlightened and that do not move on with the Word of God as it comes to pass, because, let's face it, Brother Branham said, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. Well, it says they dry up. They fit only for the burning. That's people who saw the light, walked in the light for the season. But for whatever their motive was, it matters not what their motive is. The fact is that they stopped walking in the light, and the light just kept moving on without them. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us not stop at the principles of the doctrine, but let us go on to full maturity. Notice these are the people who are not able to continue on past the principles of the doctrine of Christ. The rudimentary or elementary understanding concerning the doctrine of Christ. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. In other words, you know enough that it's not works. Okay, you got that part down. And of faith toward God. Yeah, we know there's faith involved, yeah. Of the doctrine of baptism, yeah, we got our baptism right. And of laying on the hands, yeah, we got that right. And resurrection of the dead, yeah, we even believe in a return ministry, you know. Well, it's a resurrection ministry, brother, sister. Yeah, we got that part down. And of eternal judgment, oh yeah, yeah, the judge is here. Yeah, we got that down. And this will we do if God permit. I'd like to read that from the Amplified Bible. Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and the doctrine of Christ, advancing steadily toward the completeness and the perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not lay again the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works and of the faith which you turn to God, which teachings about purifying, the laying out of hands, the resurrection for the dead, eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware of long, long ago. If indeed God permits, we will now proceed to advanced teaching. So the advanced teaching goes beyond the elementary introduction that there's one God, He had a Son. Yeah, that's what He's saying. The doctrine of Christ is there's one God, He had a Son. And you got to believe that there's two of them. One who's God, one who's not God. That's what John says. That's what Paul says here. But Paul says, look, we're going to go beyond that because that's not what we got to go into advanced teaching. Beyond just the basic understanding. But God did not permit at that time, as we see in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 19, where Paul said that he was praying for one last thing to happen before the people would be ready for the adoption. And that was that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Father would come in amongst the people to complete their maturity. We know that's happened. God Himself came down with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Himself. It's this hour. The once for all enlightening didn't happen in Luther's day, Wesley's day. It happened in this hour. Then Paul says, for it is impossible to restore and bring again to a change of mind those who have been once for all enlightened, who have consciously tasted the heavenly gift and have walked alongside the personal presence of the Holy Spirit and have felt how good the Word of God is and the mighty powers of the age and the age to come. And we know that the age to come is the millennium. So these people who have been eyewitnesses to the pillar of fire in their midst and saw the power of the age to come when a man can command bees to turn and raging bulls to sit down. We saw a millennial man in William Branham, and we saw the power of the age to come. And we have been partakers of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So those who would turn on it or just stop walking are without excuse. So we see that this can only be those who have followed the pillar of fire at the end, who came out of organization under the mighty hand of God, using the ministry of a prophet like unto Moses, and having come out and having walked in the light of the glorious presence they wear, they just wear out and go back to organization. If they then deviate from the faith, from the faith, and turn away from their allegiance, their faithfulness, it is impossible to bring them back to repentance, which is a change of the mind. For they nail upon the cross the Son of God afresh, as far as they are concerned, and are holding Him up to contempt and shame and public disgrace in doing so. So you see, once you turn away from the doctrine of Christ and go on off after works, you head down a slippery slope of organization from which you can never return to the living Word of God. We don't preach clothesline here. We preach the doctrine. And I don't see any slits in this church. I don't have to talk to you about slits in your skirt because I'm trying to point you to Jesus Christ. And if you get a hold of a relationship with Him, you're going to live holy. You're going to talk holy. You're going to do holy. Now, when the Scripture says that they deviate from the faith, and there's only one faith, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ, and when you deviate from that into other things, there's no coming back. The King James Version says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. And the word fall away was translated from the Greek word parapipto, which means fall aside, or literally to fall down or deviate from the path. To fall down. What happens when you fall down? The race keeps going on, doesn't it? Paul said, you did run well. What cut in on you and did hinder you? It literally means to come down or settle down. Don't we just want to settle down? I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about people just wanting to settle down. Moving on. They get tired. They get wore out. Attrition sets in, as Brother Vail taught us years ago. It literally means to come down or settle down as after a flight, a sparrow alighting on a branch. To set down as from a vehicle, to dismount. Which simply means to get off the train because you're tired of the journey. You're wore out, so you get off. And how do they get off the trail? They deviate from it to another trail. See, there's a way. There's a highway and a way. And it'll be called the way of holiness, not the highway. Not where a lot of people go. It's an individual affair, and you will be tested right up to the time of your body change. We are in the time of testing now. Are you willing to walk alone? Or do you have to have a big group around you? If you have to have a big group around you, you're not going to go. I'm just going to tell you that flat. If you got to have a big group around you, God's not coming for a big group. Brother Brown said He's not coming for a big church. He's coming for individuals. One here, one there. One in the bed. Two in the bed, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. So how do they get off the trail? They deviate from it. They take another trail, but not the trail of the doctrine of Christ, which leads to the trail of adoption. And if they do this, then they're not fit for finishing the journey. They perish in the journey just like Israel did. And Jesus said they're everyone dead. And Brother Ram said that means they are eternally separated from God. That's an awful thing to think about. Following the pillar of fire your whole life for 40 years through the wilderness. Eating the manna and then perishing anyway. Like Brother Branham told Brother Vail about a certain minister who came out of Methodism, came into the message, came in, sat down with Brother Branham. Brother Branham told Brother Vail, he said he would have been better off if he had remained as a Methodist. Of those 2 million people that followed Moses in the wilderness, they would have been better off if they had stayed in Egypt because they died anyway. They couldn't finish the race. They were eternally separated. For the earth which drinks in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. In other words, those who, when they receive the washing of water by the word, grow up into a fully mature planting of the Lord, ready for the harvest, these are the ones who receive the blessing from God. But then he says, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. That's their destination. Now it is interesting that the Greek word, that this word nigh was translated from, is egos, and means to squeeze down or to throttle down. So it appears that they are to be squeezed down to the curse until they are fit only for the burning. But then Paul says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. In other words, if you're a part of what God is doing in this hour, then God expects better things from you than from those who just hear the word without the doing thereof. For Paul continues in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And that is the key. That ye be not slothful, but diligent to the full assurance of earnestly expecting unto the end. My fear for the believers is this. As it was in the first Exodus, wherein 2 million children of Israel left Egypt for the land of promise, only two of those that were over 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea made it to the promised land. That means one in a million entered into the promised land. All the others perished in the wilderness, and we know according to what Paul taught us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, there is to be an attrition. There is to be a falling away from the faith. It's not Pentecostal religion that they're falling away from. That's not the faith. The faith is the revelation. And it's not just God sent a prophet. That's not what they're falling away from. There's more now than there was back when Brother Branham said, how many is there? Brother said there's about 10,000. He said, too many. Got to shake some off. There's 2 million today. They're not falling away from the message. They're falling away. The falling away is from the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because they're losing their focus on Christ and they're talking about other things. Other things. More important than talking about Him. Other things. Church socials, church things. He called us to talk about Him. Don't get distracted away from the doctrine of Christ. There is to be an attrition. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says there will be a falling away from the faith. Now the word attrition means to wear down or to wear down until there is hardly none left. The word attrition, according to the dictionary, says a rubbing away or wearing down by friction. You get tired of the trials. You get tired of being badgered. So why don't we just join them? Can't beat them, might as well join them, right? A gradual diminution in number or strength because of constant stress. A gradual natural reduction in membership or personnel as through retirement, resignation, or death. Brother Vail said in a sermon, Right Hand and Left Hand of God, he said, and so, Father, we know as the life has gone out of the previous messages and the life is now in this, even the chaff is burned up, and we see so many things, even in nature, where it's in a state of complete attrition. They tell me, Lord, I just don't know how it can be, but I've heard the upwards of hundreds of species per day, which I don't understand, are either in danger or have died off already or are dying off. That shows a state of attrition right there. Nothing more coming forth. Then, Lord, how much seed is there left to come forth? I don't know. 1993. Well, we've seen a lot of seed that were on the scene, but they weren't being taught because no one would go to them. people say, well, what are you going to all these places for? Because you're not doing it. It's just that simple. You didn't do it. Somebody had to do it. Isaiah. What happened with Isaiah? He said, I came in. I came into the presence of God. I felt so totally unworthy. His train filled the temple. The smoke was so thick I could hardly breathe. And then he said, who will go? And he said, Lord, here I am. Send me. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. Remember that song? When they asked, who will go for us? Here I am, he said, send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. From the same message Brother Vail said in paragraph 63, he said, hey, it's over. Attrition. Attrition has set in. There it is. Now it says, fallen away, they'll never come back. They crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, put him to an open shame, shame him, literally shame him, the one that they're waiting for. Oh, that's not the one. That's the devil doing that. That's not the days of the Son of Man. That's not this. That's not the other thing. It's what we say it is. Shame him. And ashamed of him who was the revealed word. The attrition comes because they do not understand. So they go along guessing until one day their guesses become so far off the beaten path that there is no longer anything in common to the word. Yet they sit there thinking that they are fully aware of what is going on, and they don't realize that they are blind, miserable, naked, and don't know it. Now, I want you to see this evening that there are two groups of people ordained to hear the same message at the end time. But one group has faith, and through that faith they are quickened to the message of the hour, while the other group has not received the same message by revelation. It's just an intellectual conception. It is not revealed to them, and thus they cannot put it together in any way that will do them any good. It is not life to them. It's a theology. And because God is long-suffering and is not willing that any should perish, therefore a long period of time is given to bring in the last seed and get them child-trained. But during this prolonged time, the one kind of believer who received the doctrine through an intellectual understanding and not by a life-giving revelation ends up losing what hope that they have, and through attrition they begin to wear away because it was not their life. It was not their breath. But mere intellectual conception. They depart from the faith by deviating from it into other things that have nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with redemption. You can preach 100 sermons on music. It's not going to save your soul. You can preach 100 sermons on dressing the right way. It's not going to save your soul. Deviating from the faith. Be careful that what things you're feeding on. Because if it's not the doctrine of Christ, there's no perfection. Because we are to go in further and further into advanced understanding of the doctrine of Christ, it brings us into relationship. And it's through that relationship that'll perfect the bride. Not perfect as though this body is perfect, because that was done by the blood of Jesus Christ. But perfect as far as maturing. Maturing. Getting ready for adoption. Now, this attrition we speak of is a wearing away or weakening to the point of exhaustion, a wearing or grinding down by affliction, and these either walk away altogether or they revert to trying to do the message of works or some sort of works. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's just read it. I'm going to close. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Begin at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from, in other words, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. At this time is when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. That word is endoxazo. Endoxazo. And the word endoxazo, you know what the word doxa means, right? It means the opinion, the values, the assessment, or the judgment. But the azo, in back of that, when it says endoxazo or doxazo, the azo means to be manifested in you, to be expressed in you. So the doxa of God, the opinion, the values, the judgment, in that day when they become expressed in the saints. In other words, the word becomes a living word in a living person and living people in you and I. Who shall be punished with ever, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony, Paul's testimony, among you was believed in that day. And Brother Bram said, I'm only saying the same thing that Paul said. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and doxazo in you, and you and him according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor as letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice there's a gathering, one group, there's a falling away, other group. Right? It's happening. How can they fall away if they haven't been there? He's not talking about the Baptists, not talking about the Pentecostals. He's talking about those falling away from the faith, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're looking at two groups of people, those who are being gathered to him and those who are being separated from him. And as we read further on, I want you to recognize what the difference is between the two groups. You'll find it is faith. Now in verse 3, we see a falling away that must come first. This falling away comes via attrition. It is actually a divorcement, but comes through attrition. Now notice in every Exodus, there's two groups, but both come out. But what makes them different is that one group goes in while the other one they just stop, or they go back where they came out from. Remember, Brother Bram said in the Anointed Ones at the end time, he said, just a minute, I want you to look at something here. I think I wrote this down. I'm not sure, but I want to say it and look it up before I say it. Now, just 1 minute. Reprobates concerning the truth, concerning the faith. The faith, there's only one faith, that's right, concerning the faith, reprobates. What's a reprobate? Not able to get it. Just can't get it, can't receive it. But one group has faith, and through that faith they are quickened to the message of the hour, while the other group has not received the same message by revelation. It is not revealed to them, and thus they cannot put it together in a way that will do them any good. And they thus lose what hope that they have, and through attrition they just wear away. They are reprobate concerning the faith. They are they who depart from the faith. And now this attrition we speak of is wearing away, or weakening to the point of exhaustion, a wearing down or a grinding down by affliction. Finally, in closing, we see 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice there must come a season of testing. And what better way to test them than to give them the word test, or to allow false doctrine to come to enter in among them to see if they're faithful or not. And during this time or season, attrition sets in. Those not ordained to it, they're just worn down and they fall away. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, we are. We're in a dilemma in this hour because we're on a path. I just pray that we know in our hearts what that path is. And so, Father, I just pray that we would recognize Romans 8, Galatians 4, Ephesians 1. All must be fulfilled yet. There's got to be an adoption of the sons of God. There's got to be a manifestation of the sons of God. And that manifestation has to be the same manifestation as the pattern was, your son, Jesus. And so we know the pattern. It's Christ. He didn't say anything but what was given to him to say. What you commanded him to say. He said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows him first to do. He said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And he said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. We see the pattern. And we know that there's a trail. A trail that we must go through. Paul said in Romans 8, that all that you foreknew, that's those that were in you before the foundation of the world, those you adopted, are you those that you predestinate to the adoption of sons? Those that you foreknew, you called. So have we heard our call? And those that he called, he has justified, and we are justified by faith. You've given us revelation. You've given us understanding of that calling. And those that he justified, he has glorified. He has endoxazo. He has expressed his opinion, his values, and his judgment through them. This is our trail to adoption. May we be on it and not on the trail to separation. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. We know, Father, in Psalm 1, it says, the Lord watches over with our active participation the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. They are left to themselves. And there's a way which seems right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death. A man will choose his path, but the Lord will direct his footsteps. So God, our Father, we pray with all that lays within us tonight that you would not leave us nor forsake us. But we know that your pillar fire is leading us to the millennium. May we walk in the light, not just talk it. Brother Branham said, I would rather you live a sermon any day than talk. So, Father, talk is cheap, but may we live it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother John, if you would bring forth the elements. And let's just open our Bibles at this time to John chapter 13.